From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues the theme of Principles of Spiritual Warfare, part of this series in the book of Joshua. In chapter 5, again verses 13 through 15, we find Joshua alone at night near Jericho, probably musing on the battle to come. At that point, he received a visit from the captain of the Lord of Hosts, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the third in a series of spiritual preparations for the conquest of Canaan. The Lord himself came to Joshua to remind him that although physical activity is necessary in the Lord's work, there must first be a meeting with the God of heaven and earth. During the previous part of the message, Dr. Cairns listed the first principle as the recognition of the reality of the spiritual world. Then, in this spiritual battle, victory is assured because the Lord himself fights for his people. Next, the appearance of the captain of the Lord's host taught Joshua that communion with Christ must precede contending with the enemy. As he returns to this theme, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that in this spiritual warfare, the battle is the Lord's. Israel was about to encounter the greatest opposition they had ever seen, but the Lord who had promised them the victory would fight for them. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text comes from John 14 and verse 21, "And will manifest myself to him." The Lord Jesus gives special revelations of himself to his people. Even if Scripture did not declare this, there are many of the children of God who could testify the truth of it from their own experience. They have had manifestations of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a peculiar manner, such as no mere reading or hearing could afford. In the biographies of eminent saints, you will find many instances recorded in which Jesus has been pleased in a very special manner to speak to their souls and to unfold the wonders of his person. Yea, so have their souls been steeped in happiness that they have thought themselves to be in heaven, whereas they were not there, though they were well nigh on the threshold of it. For when Jesus manifests himself to his people, it is heaven on earth, it is paradise in embryo, it is bliss begun. Special manifestations of Christ exercise a holy influence on the believer's heart. One effect will be humility. If a man says, "I've had such and such spiritual communications, I am a great man," he has never had any communion with Jesus at all. For God hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. He does not need to come near them to know them, and will never give them any visits of love. Another effect will be happiness, for in God's presence there are pleasures forevermore. Holiness will be sure to follow. A man who has no holiness has never had this manifestation. Some men profess a great deal, but we must not believe anyone unless we see that his deeds answer to what he says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He will not bestow his favors upon the wicked. For while he will not cast away the perfect man, neither will he respect an evildoer. Thus there will be three effects of nearness to Jesus: humility, happiness, and holiness. May God give them to thee, Christian.
Today,
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
We're returning this morning to the fifth chapter of the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 5, and the final verses of the chapter, verse 13 through 15. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Last Lord's Day morning, I was pointing out that the Lord held the children of Israel at Gilgal for quite a prolonged time. Militarily, it didn't seem to make any sense that a great army should cross the Jordan and have the city of Jericho all shut up in defense against it. And then, for no apparent reason, to spend quite a long time, as far as the men of Jericho could see, doing nothing, quite a long time before beginning their assault on the heavily fortified city of Jericho. As I said last week, to a military mind, it would appear to have been an error, for it gave time for the people in Jericho to strengthen their already formidable defenses. It gave them time, if so moved, to call in help from other cities. And we find from later chapters in the book of Joshua that the cities of that area, though often at loggerheads one with another, were not slow to amalgamate in their opposition to the Israelites. But still, it did make very good sense for the Lord to keep his people at Gilgal before they proceeded to Jericho. It was only an appearance that would say it was not sensible, that militarily or some other way it was weak. Far from that, this was the best procedure, because at Gilgal, the Lord did three things. First of all, he reinstituted the covenant of circumcision. You may recollect that when we studied that, I showed you that its meaning for us is that personal godliness is necessary to all Christian living and service. The children of Israel, as the covenant was reinstituted, had to learn the power of spiritual living and personal godliness. Then the Passover was reinstated. And we learned from that feasting on Christ crucified is the key to God's people entering into their possessions in the name of the Lord Jesus. Those were the first two things the Lord did at Gilgal. Those were the spiritual lessons that he taught the people of God. Now, the third great thing the Lord did at Gilgal, he sent the captain of the Lord's host. This is what theologians call a Christophany, a pre-incarnation appearance of Christ for a specific purpose and for a limited time with his people. He sent the captain of the Lord's host to meet with Joshua. As the commander in chief of the armies, Joshua was surveying the defenses of Jericho one last time no doubt planning, as every good soldier would, for every contingency, or seeking to. But then, this stranger, armed and ready for war, stands before him. Joshua, courageous as ever, boldly approaches him, demanding who he is and why he's there. Is he for the Israelites, or is he for their enemies? He is astonished at the reply, "Nay, but as captain of the Lord's host am I now come." Joshua immediately recognizes the meaning and significance of this encounter, acknowledges this to be his Lord, and says, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" The answer was, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy." Last week I was pointing out that here we have what we can call the principles of spiritual warfare. Here there are seven things that we must recognize as we fight the Lord's battle. Now, as soon as I say seven things, you will immediately understand why we didn't get it all finished last week. We covered the first three of those great truths that we must recognize as we fight the Lord's battle. First of all, we must recognize the reality of the spiritual world. Second, we must recognize that victory for God's people is assured before the battle commences. And third, we must recognize that communion takes precedence over contending. We spent some time considering that last week, that though Joshua was called to be a soldier and had a divine call to lead the armies into battle, yet the Lord detained him to meet with Christ. He had to see Christ before he met and saw the enemy. And as we went through the scriptures, we saw that that is an unbreakable rule for the people of God. There had to be communion before contending. We tend to be too much in a hurry to get on to what we think are the practical things. We must be doing, we must be battling, we must be fighting. Well, we discover from Scripture that that is all true. We must be battling, we must be contending for Jesus Christ. But taking precedence over that, and indeed enabling us to do that, there must be this place of communion. It is in the place of communion with Christ. It is directly from Christ that we learn how to live the Christian life, and we learn, secondly, how we are to fight the battle of Christ against all the powers of darkness. It is in communion with Christ that all the facts that we have learned from Scripture, all the truths that we have learned from study, become heart-gripping realities that direct our lives. You see, just because a man can quote the Scripture does not mean that he's spiritually effective. Now, let me make you realize you will not be spiritually effective while you keep yourself in ignorance of Scripture. And I'm making no plea or apology for laziness in the study of the Word of God. Far from it. But you need to learn that merely to be able to quote Scripture, merely to know the outline of systematic theology, merely to be able to put in order the proof texts and the proof arguments of all the great matters of the faith will not equip you to be spiritually effective. These things are essential, but while they merely lodge in the head, they will not direct the life. It is not merely in the place of intellectual exercise. It is in the place of personal communion with Christ that your heart is gripped, that what you learn as truth will grip your soul, and it will so grip that soul that it will direct you and enable you and make you effective in the work of God. Now, having learned those things, we come to the fourth thing which we must recognize in spiritual warfare, and that is that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Joshua had led the children of Israel across the River Jordan. Before them there stood unconquered the entire land of Canaan. Blocking their progress immediately was the oldest of all the fortified cities, a place of warriors, a place that was built to withstand any army's attack in that day. Here was a great challenge to Joshua. Here was something that was going to test the mettle of the armies of Israel. It was going to probe the manliness of the soldiers of Israel. It was going to get to the depths of those men and see what was in them. That was all in Joshua's mind as he stood there surveying the city of Jericho. Of course, the Israelites had proved themselves a little in war, but what they had seen was nothing in comparison to what they were about to see. The opposition they had known was little or nothing in comparison to the opposition they were now about to encounter. Joshua recognized all that. And it must have weighed very, very heavily on his heart, because he knew these people as few people could have known Israel. He knew their strengths, he knew their weaknesses, he knew their fickleness, he knew how easily discouraged they became, he knew how quickly they would turn tail and run. He knew all that. What a comfort it was then, when just outside of Jericho, he saw the captain of the Lord's host with his sword drawn. He was ready for battle.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.